WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free radio. In the center of the FM dial since 1960, thanks to listeners just like you. We bring you Democracy Now! Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. without commercial interruption. Again, thanks to you. It's 9 a.m. on a Friday morning, and coming up next is Beyond the Pale with Rafael Shumanov and Shoshana Brown.
What do I need to say to them at this moment, just before going on? Just stop the cameras, I don't have to think on that one. Let's see. We gotta have a great time.
Please do call me Tina.
Well, I'd rather not, if you don't mind. It's such an awful name.
Are you feeling poorly?
I feel terrible.
Are you pregnant?
Well, you're not a girl.
Push.
Wow, Dad, how does she make her hair like that?
Okay.
Nah, sexy.
No, sexy.
Holding a candle.
I know what you're telling me. You're saying to me, you're 70 years old. I know that's what you want to say, isn't it? What's love got to do with it? Well, what does that have to do with me?
You are now listening to
Beyond the Pale,
radio's home for the Jewish left.
With your hosts,
Rafael Shimonov
and Shoshana Brown.
Let me say the same, baby. Since we've been together, ooh, loving you forever is all I need. Let me be the one you come running to. Oh,
it is 9:02 a.m. and you are listening to Beyond the Pale, radio's home for the Jewish left, here on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming on WBAI.org. The Pale, for those who don't know, was the only area in Russia where Jews were allowed to live. Beyond the Pale thus came to signify transgression, danger, and unconventional behavior. This program, Beyond the Pale, will, we hope, explore in unconventional ways the experience, identity, culture, and politics of contemporary Jews from the diaspora. And we're your hosts, Shoshana Brown
and Rafael Shimonov. Today you can call in at 212-209-2877. And today is also this opportunity to pledge. And you can help support this station at 212-209-2950 or by going to give2wbai.org. That's give2wbai.org. We introed with Tina Turner, of course.
Yeah. May her memory be a blessing to all of us. She was so powerful, and she recently passed at the age of 83 in her home out in Switzerland from natural causes. And she spoke with the Guardian in what figured to be her last public remarks. And they asked her, how would you like to be remembered? And she said, as the queen of rock and roll, as a woman who showed other women that it's okay to strive for success on their own terms. And then they asked, what frightens her about getting older? And she replied, nothing. This life's full of adventure, and I embrace and accept every day with what it brings. And some of you may know that she battled with cancer for a long time. I'm just so sad to see her go, but I'm so grateful for all the gifts that she offered us.
I do love all of the historic tidbits coming in from her life, the struggles and the victories. I didn't know someone could be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice, but I guess as a band first and then as an individual, that's pretty amazing.
I didn't know that either. Yeah. And then Raphael, you were telling me there's like some hidden secret. Sometimes we like to do this thing here on Beyond the Pale where we're like, how many degrees away from Jewishness can you be?
Yeah, I bring it to you from every Jewish dinner table in the world. And that's whenever something happens in the news, the first thing we do is discuss whatever Jewish connection there was to it. And Tina Turner was actually confused as being Jewish by many people, including, people who just listening to her music, look her up real quick. There's a lot of misinformation that she was Jewish because her former partner, Ike Turner, was Jewish. He converted to Judaism. And the belief that she was Jewish was so deep by people that she herself had experienced anti-Semitic attacks. Like a mural of her was defaced with swastikas. She was, however, a Buddhist. I forget the name of the Buddhism branch, but it's Japanese originate. And she herself was very, very much Buddhist. And yes.
I feel like that's the iconic piece of her movie, of her autobiographical movie, is her chanting and meditation.
I've actually heard a few people tell me that they explored Buddhism because of Tina Turner. I was like, wait, how did this happen? But I'm guessing it was the movie. I don't know.
I know that I probably ignorantly used that chant, not knowing what it means, but hopefully I got some benefits out of it. And then also there's also Jubus. Tons. And there's so much writing and academic research about the people who identify as Jewish and Buddhist.
Yeah. Today, Shoshana and me, and we'll be covering just recent Jewish news. We'll be talking about why this show is important, why your support for WBAI is important. A few big things in Jewish news did happen yesterday. The White House released a national strategy to combat anti-Semitism. A new bill here last week was introduced in New York by Assemblyman Zoran Mamdani to ban New York nonprofits from funding settlers in the West Bank. And of course, there's a lot of drama that followed that, of course, as expected.
Naturally. And don't forget, we are floating a new segment on our show called Raphael's Rant.
I thought so you got all my,
stay tuned
all,
for that.
All my things are rants here almost. Oh man, we need a jingle, I guess. And
yeah. we'll come up with that next. it's one thing that is really important here for me is that we have a Jewish voice, a progressive Jewish voice, and I dare say radical between you and I, radical Jewish voice on public radio. And so before we even get into those big news topics, I want to make sure that folks have an opportunity to really hear me say that we need your support at WBAI, because this is so fun. Raphael and I have so much fun every week bringing you different things. And we are really on the edge of bringing you important updates that otherwise might not get talked about or you might not hear. And we're bringing them to you from a unique perspective as Jews of color here in New York City who are deeply embedded in the social justice movement and what it means to be lifelong New Yorkers. So we want you to show up and support this station and continue the amazing legacy of WBAI that really puts forth just incredible content. And make sure you get out your pen today because we're going to give you this information many times. So if you're not getting it right now, don't worry, but make sure you get it. It's 212-209-2950. That's when you could call in and pledge and be a BAI buddy, or you can go online to give the number 2WBAI.org.
And you can also call in the show today and tell us maybe why you value BAI and the show. I'd love to talk about that. If you have feedback about the show, anything like that, 212-209-2877. That's 212-209-2877. There's just so much. I was looking back at our archives of the show and just thinking, I couldn't think of another station that would have allowed us to do this. So we have early on, we had found that the New York City Council were going on trips to Israel still, like one-sided trips, full of propaganda by groups, vested in, erasing occupation, apartheid, human rights, really either pink washing, white washing, every color washing, what's going on in Israel, Palestine. So we responded and we had Palestinians on and we had Jews on and we had Israelis on, like people who spoke, and not just anyone, experts, people like Beth Miller from Jewish Voice for Peace. We had Gabe Tobias, who was bringing us the inside information about local government that he works in and why they're taking these trips. It was incredible. We had Tarek Ismail, a civil rights and human rights attorney and associate professor at CUNY, who is Palestinian and was giving us his perspective, who himself was experiencing the things we were talking about when he visits. Then during the whole drag show attacks, we had Kiki Ballchange out from and Outlive Them there. Kiki was amazing. You have to really find that archive. And Outlive Them is a Jewish radical group who taught us about how to show up to these drag events and defend the kids and the families who are being harassed by fascists at the doors. And they and New Yorkers, especially in Queens and the Bronx and Manhattan, like were so, and Brooklyn, were so powerful in the defense, where we outnumbered them 10, 20, 30 to 1 in defense of these kids and families. We spoke with about No Tech for Apartheid, about Google and Amazon. This is my work when I'm not on the radio. I work for Athena Coalition, and we show up against Amazon's harms. One of Amazon and Google's harms is providing the Israeli government with technology to help uphold apartheid. We had the Google and Amazon workers speaking out against that in Florida. There was the Don't Say Gay bill inspired a lot of right wingers to infiltrate their school boards, even school boards they don't belong to, even if they don't have kids. They go to the school boards and they were emboldened to ban a play about a play being banned, a Jewish play, a play that was queer and Jewish, a love story. They banned it. We had not only the cast of that high school play on, We brought back Alyssa Solomon, who helped begin this show, the original version of Beyond the Pale, and Paula Vogel, like a award-winning playwright who created the play that they were doing, came on in their defense, and they're still fighting that fight down in Florida. I can go on. We just heard Spike Lee on Democracy Now as we were wrapping Democracy Now up. And we had Roger Guinevere Smith on, who, as you know, if you're a big Spike Lee movie fan, he's in almost every Spike Lee movie. And he spoke about his depiction of Otto Frank, Anne Frank's father, in his one-man show at the Public Theater. This was like just a month of things. It was just a few Fridays. And I am just so grateful to the station for giving us this space. And in order for us to maintain it, we need to support it and you need to invest in it. And that's at 212-209-2950, where you can donate, or by going to give2wbai.org.
It is 9:15 a.m. and you are listening to Beyond the Pale, radio's home for the Jewish left, here on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming on WBAI.org. We're your host, me, Shoshana Brown, and I'm here with Rafael Shivanov. And you can call in today. We'd love to hear your voices and speak with you about our show and what we've been doing here, your love and support for WBAI. You can call in at 212-209-2877. And we're
calling in from, you're calling in from where today, Shoshana? Can you say?
I can. I am actually calling in from Germany today. I am broadcasting to you live from Würzburg.
Würzburg. I got to look that one up.
Würzburg, Germany. It's right outside of Frankfurt. And I'm here to have a real intense and exciting trip. Right, both reviewing the history of Germany and also learning about the country. The countryside is very beautiful. It definitely reminds me of a similar, the nature and temperate zone is very similar to New York. So it's actually really beautiful here. And this weekend, in tandem with what's going on in New York City at Brooklyn Academy of Music, is the annual Dance Africa show and festival. So make sure you head down there and get all your yummy food and have your good times. I've heard the show this year is amazing. And in at the same time, over here in Germany, there is Europe's largest African music festival, Africa Fest. So I'm here for that and turned up tonight.
They were like, we need to impress Shoshana. We need to, right? When she was visiting.
They're like, Shoshana's coming. Let's bring everybody from Europe, all the Black people in Europe together.
That's amazing. And you were brought in like on a chair. People held you out from the airport into this town.
Yes, throwing rose petals everywhere. Because, you know, my name is Shoshana. It means rose.
Nice. Is it? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. We did a whole thing about our name meanings. Anyway. So we're talking about this big thing today, yesterday that happened in the White House, and you really are deep in this. And apparently, I'll just tell you from the outside perspective for me, we just saw Biden, White House, send out a message saying they had this meeting for anti-Semitism strategy in response to the rising wave of anti-Semitism. And we were on the left of the Jewish world. We were surprised to see something refreshingly promising. And so the right wing of our people and other people and, you know, evangelical right wing and other right wingers have been pushing something called the IHRA definition, working definition of anti-Semitism. And it's mostly whatever, but one particular part about it is that it equates, it helps to equate, it's used to help to equate anti-Semitism with criticism of Israel and criticism of Zionism. And a lot of institutions and even some nations have been trying to adopt it as a definition. And as you know, in some nations, anti-Semitism is actually illegal, like in Germany and other places. So having a definition out there that defines criticism of a state and of a concept for that state is anti-Semitism is extremely dangerous. And we have been seeing Jewish groups, right-wing Jewish groups, spending millions of dollars promoting this so that it becomes law in the U.S. or it becomes recognized in the U.S. as a definition. And there has been other groups, academic and other Jewish leaders, who have been promoting different definitions that don't equate it. One is the Jerusalem Declaration of, the Jerusalem Declaration. And that also defined it in a more scholarly, deeper way. And we were surprised to see that they didn't appear to endorse that definition in their work, which is huge. And that's all I know. That's all I know. And I was surprised, and I saw J. Fred celebrating it and other Jewish nonprofits celebrating it. And now I'm like, I got to call Shoshana. I need the inside scoop here. What happened? What do we, so what can we say? And what do we know happened?
Here's the inside scoop. Okay. First of all, I just want to talk for a second about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a major issue area of concern right now. Across the country, we're seeing anti-Semitism rise, wherein I think Jews are 2.4%, according to this strategy, and I'll get to how we got to the strategy in the first place, but American Jews are 2.4% of the U.S. population, but anti-Semitism drove 63% of reported religiously motivated hate crimes. So the disproportionate rate in which Jews are experiencing hate crimes in this country is out of control, but also steadily rising, as we see. And, you know, one of the things that Biden has remained consistent about is that he ran after, you know, after reflecting on what happened in Charlottesville, and seeing straight up Nazis actually be in the streets and be proud of what they believe. And so here we are in, you know, a very, very heavy and scary moment in our country where not only is anti-Semitism rising, gun violence is on the rise, and we are banning Amanda Gorman's poetry quicker than we are banning guns. And that is problematic, right? Like, how can the fact that we can ban information and education before we actually ban weapons? So just want to leave that hanging there for people to really grasp that. And a lot of people had a lot of hope about this administration for a lot of reasons. And then there were some people like me, less hopeful. And I gotta say that I'm, you know, it's a weird moment where I'm actually like, wow, a politician who I consider pretty center, you know, he's, you know, Biden is a Democrat, but certainly center, more centrist than not in the Democratic Party. And he actually did something that I feel pretty good about. And let me tell you why I feel pretty good about it. First of all, the strategy that went into it A lot of people were excited because of Doug Emhoff, Kamala Harris's husband is Jewish, our first gentleman. So that was automatically like people were like, oh, what? How can we like, you know, let's go. Yeah. Jews like, you know, getting into policy and what can we do? And how can he be more supportive to fighting this rise in anti-Semitism? And so here goes. The White House did a number of listening sessions where they listened to over 1,000 Jews from across the United States, scholars, activists, rabbis, religious leaders, all kinds policymakers, all kinds of Jews from across the United States.
Including people who have been on the show. I just wanted to add that there are people who have been talking to the White House who have been guests on the show. But yeah, continue. I'm riveted.
Yes, exactly. So people that maybe you might even know, right? I'm not going to drop any names because I maintain their confidentiality, but people you may know or have heard of or maybe following online. And they took all this information that they received and they developed what is the U.S. strategy to combat anti-Semitism. This is the first time that the U.S. has ever put forward, the executive branch has ever put forward a policy that directly speaks about combating anti-Semitism. And not only that, it commits to over 100 actions. And they say it doesn't go far enough because they need Congress to do their part also, right? So we still need Congress to pass appropriate laws. This isn't the end all be all, but it is a step forward for this administration to say, we are doing our part here to address a real issue within our country, and anti-Semitism is a flag. It's a flag race for a serious turn in politics that usually and oftentimes indicates a turn towards fascism. I'm going to tell you a few things that I like about this document, then I'm going to tell you some things I don't like. So number one, I'm just going to read to you. It says, the hatred of Jews shares much in common with other forms of hate, such as racism, Islamophobia, homophobia, transphobia, and misogyny, right? So throughout this document, we see the ways in which there is a clear line around solidarity for the Jews. It's not singling out like, oh, only Jews, only anti-Semitism matters. They're naming in this report over and over again the ways in which these various oppressions are similar and should be fought on the same grounds together. That's number one that I love. And then the other piece of it that you were talking about, Raphael, which is I think this is something to celebrate, right? I also, before I even get to what you were talking about, I also love, I also really love that along with this report, there's been links to other executive agencies, government branches that have released documents and information about how religious institutions can maintain safety without being racist. Just that alone, right? Because so much of the conversation, particularly in the Jewish community, obviously, because I'm Jewish, that's what I know. And I can only imagine in other communities is like, well, you know, I know that when I grew up going to a Young Israel, they hire off-duty cops to stand guard, right? And that is a common practice that happened. And so the White House is doing their part to inform faith leaders of other strategies that they can take by creating assessment, safety assessments of your religious institution, creating drills and safety plans, identifying weaknesses and creating plans to strengthen it, and even creating grants and giving out money for religious institutions to strengthen their safety precautions, right? And none of this is like, if somebody looks, quote, like they don't belong, which is the old adage that I am so tired of, because what does that mean in a Jewish community? Who doesn't belong, right? Instead, the language that they're using is if somebody is behaving suspiciously. And so what I love is that it's pointing to the behaviors and not the identity of somebody, right? And so that takes away from our initial sort of implicit bias and internalized white supremacy. Mm. And to get back to what you were saying about this defining, there's this little trope, or I don't know, saying that's going around, define it to defeat it, which is so annoying because I don't know why we have to, like, we all know what it is. Why do we have to, like, agree? And also it's like the most Jewish thing that there's so much disagreement about how we define anti-Semitism. Yeah. That's like classic.
Yeah. Well, that's going to happen when there's a side that's using it for other purposes, to promote land theft, to promote things, is just like putting us in more danger by redefining it in a different way. It is 9:31 a.m. You're listening to Beyond the Pale, Radio's home for the Jewish left, here on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming with archives and also streaming live on WBAI.org. We're your hosts, me, Rafael Shimonov, and Shoshana Brown. You can call in today at 212-209-2877. We've been talking about the latest Jewish news, and also we've been fundraising just because we're so happy that we're able to bring you this kind of dialogue in a critical time. In particular, a critical time in the city. I can't think of a better place than BAI for this show, not only because of the radical, like, leaning edge thought that we bring you through our guests, but also BAI, if you look at BAI's listenership, it is exactly who the right wing and fascists and the corporations want to be divided. And BAI listeners come together here on BAI. And through this act of interacting and listening, we maintain this bond that they need to break to win. And to me, that means BAI is just naturally an anti-fascist entity. It's naturally an anti-Semitic. It's naturally anti-racist because it is bringing us together on these issues. And in particular, how certain powers want to divide Black and Jewish. Not that there's no Black Jews, as we know on the show through our host, and Brown Jews and on this and that, but to divide these communities, and to know that there's so many Black and Jewish of all colors listeners, and Black of all faith listeners on this platform. I just want to remind people to give and get your pen out, because through this show, we're going to be sharing the number 212-209-2950 to give, or the URL give2wbai.org, give2wbai.org. Michael, I think we have a caller. Let us know your name and where you're calling from.
Good morning. It's Judith from the Upper West Side.
Hi, Judith.
There are two things about anti-Semitism that bugged me. The first thing is people call people who criticize Israel anti-Semites. So they're totally ignorant. And that really bugs me. The other thing about anti-Semitism is what Israel is doing is causing world anti-Semitism because ignorant people, again, cannot separate Jews from the government of Israel. So I wanted to make that point. Another thing is there's a very powerful Holocaust play. I recommend that you Google Goldberg's Kaddish. It's a very powerful play because it brings out a lot about the history behind what happened with United States involvement. So I'll get off the phone and let other people speak. Thank you. Your program's great.
That's fascinating. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Judith. It really bugs me too. I'm glad that we're on the same page about how the idea of Zionism and support of Israel has really, really gets in the way of talking about Jewish safety and talking about how and talking about systemic and institutionalized oppression of Jews. And that is one thing that was a win for this White House. There were a lot of people that were doing hard advocacy to ensure that the White House did not necessarily adopt this definition of anti-Semitism that, first of all, is a very poor definition. Like if you read it, you'd be like, this is not acceptable for a seventh grader to write. You tell them more specific, please. And secondly, while what they share nods to it, they acknowledge the variety of definitions of anti-Semitism, and they clearly say that this is about getting to the action and taking action around anti-Semitism and not getting caught up in the semantics of it, which is where the right wants us to be, because that's where we get divided, right? So I really appreciate that. And for a 60-page document, I think anti-Semitism only gets mentioned Israel only gets mentioned just a few times in a 60-page document. And so, which rightfully so, right? Like if people are only, Israel is part of it, but it's not the focus. It's not the center. And we can't have government policy being used to weaponize activists and people who are speaking out against human rights atrocities.
Yeah. And also, I think the other point the caller made really resonates with me, and that is, it's kind of a risky place to speak, but the idea that, so it's a little uncomfortable because the idea that anti-Semitism can be caused by Jews is extremely, often historically been used to promote anti-Semitism, right? So it's a very risky thing to say. And you said it perfectly, caller, because, if it is true, like the right would have us believe that, an Ilhan Omar or someone could say, you know, that Congress is over influenced by AIPAC and that lobby among all the other lobbyists. She never just isolated Jews, but among all other lobbyists, that also the AIPAC lobby, the Israel lobby, if disparaging them, that saying that they are a negative force in Congress can cause anti-Semitism, or if someone misspeaks about something Jewish, that causes anti-Semitism. How can you not believe that occupation contributes to anti-Semitism, that violence contributes to anti-Semitism? And also here in the U.S., when we're saying we want, the right wing wants to create laws that tear up the Constitution and free speech, that you should be fired or criminalized or fined for criticizing Israel, that's going to cause a lot of anti-Semitism, where someone's sitting on a couch somewhere reading that their constitution is going to be limited because you can't criticize this one state. What do you think that's going to do? So there's this cautious thing about the reality of that. And I don't think, of course, the root, no one is saying, is of Jewish things of anti-Semitism. The root of anti-Semitism is clearly who it's benefiting the most, and that's white supremacy. And the victims aren't just Jews. The victims are everyone, including people of color, people struggling economically, people, even ableism and homophobia and misogyny are all aided by anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is a tool used and manufactured for these purposes. So I thought that I was really impressed with this caller. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, we can't get more clear when, the White House releases 100 bold and unprecedented actions to fight hate and anti-Semitism. And Lauren Boebert's response is, when they say stuff like this, they mean they want to go after conservatives. Okay, girl.
Yeah. Accidentally left Congressmember Lauren Boebert accidentally left, where she actually just said the quiet part loud. Like, if you go after misogynists and homophobes and anti-Semites and Islamophobes, you're being anti-Republican. Wow. We have another caller. For callers, 212-209-2877. Call in today, anytime. Let's talk. And let me know your name and where you're calling from.
Hello, this is Mike from Brooklyn.
Hi, Mike.
Hi. I guess just first, I do want to say something else, but just first, I guess coming off of the last caller and the discussion. Oh, sorry, that's my daughter.
No problem.
I think Israel contributes, but I think the big, a much bigger contributor to anti-Semitism is capitalism. I don't know who said it, but, that anti-Semitism is the socialism of fools. It might have been someone in the Second International. But it's a proxy, a really tragic and awful proxy for class analysis. You just say, oh, this is the ruling class, and you have it today with Soros and all of this kind of, bankers, they're all proxies for anti-Semitism. So I think until we get rid of capitalism, we're still going to have all of the racism and gender oppression and queer oppression and anti-Semitism. But more so, I'd like to ask about Judaism and the question of abortion and reproductive access and what the sort of, I know that there are different religious threads that, it seems like the more conservative and orthodox, they don't are not into abortion. And then it seems like people who are fighting most, a lot of people who fight for abortion are Jewish. And I think I saw that 88% of Jewish Americans support abortion. So I'd love to put that on the table and see what you guys think. I don't know if it's the truth, but I heard that in Judaism, generally, it's like the first breath is when life begins, or the soul, or maybe that's 40 days later. So maybe if you could share some thoughts about that, I appreciate your perspective. All right. Sorry, I got to go. Bye.
All right.
Thank you so much, Mike, for calling in. Yeah. I'll say something quickly about abortion. What you said, all the things that you said, I know to be true. And, what I know to be true is that according to Jewish law, the mother's life takes priority. And so there might be different, communities within the Jewish community, different folks of different religious observance levels or people who interpret the religious laws differently around like flat out abortions are okay or not okay. But ultimately, no matter what, Jewish law is clear that abortions are must be accessible and available, because at the end of the day, the mother's life has to take precedence over the child. So if you're in a situation where you get pregnant and it could pose a threat to your health, and I'm sorry, I'm saying mother, I should say parent, the birthing parent, if you're in a situation where you get pregnant and the pregnancy might pose a threat to your health, it is 100% Jewish law that you get the abortion. So that's my knowledge, and where I know that Judaism lands around abortion. And I wish that I know that there are Jews that are coming out, and lots of Jews in the abortion access and reproductive justice fight right now. And I was almost excited. I was tantalized by this synagogue in Florida that took Florida to the Supreme Court for religious freedom around abortion. And then I did some more digging and reading, because you have to read the fine print. And I was a little disappointed, because the argument that they made in the Supreme Court is not abortion should be legal for everyone because religious freedom. It was, they were arguing for exceptionalism, and they were arguing that, well, okay, if you're going to make this rule, Jews should not, you know, not have to abide by it. So that is, to me, is not the way that is not within the Jewish tradition. That is not our traditional solidarity. And one of the things about being a diaspora people is that we have solidarity with all people from all walks and all faiths, and people who are marginalized. And we stand in solidarity with them. So there you go. That's my hot takes on abortion. And it's 9:46 a.m. and you're listening to Beyond the Pale.
Gotta get echo on that. Beyond the Pale.
Radio's home for the Jewish left. To the left. Oh, we should put a little Beyonce in there.
All right, I'm working on it.
Here on WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming on WBAI.org. We're your host, me, I'm Shoshana Brown, and I'm here with Rafael Shimonov. And you can call in today at 212-209-2877. And of course, we are just pouring our love onto our station, WBAI, and we just want you to give and invest in public radio, because it is one of the core sources of democracy, is one of the core foundational pieces, cornerstones of democracy. And you can give to WBAI at give2wbai.org.
We had some, I was just looking again at some other shows that we had that I'm so proud of. We had one with Yael Kanarek where she regendered the Torah. Like, you have to find that archive. It's incredible. Like, literally regendering the Torah, which opens up so many questions about religion, not just the Torah, but the Bible and the Quran eventually. Like, it impacts all of it and all of our thinking. Then we had...
And you mean, like, when you said regender, like, she switched the way we understand the genders in the Torah?
Yes.
Abraham is a woman and Sarah is a man.
Yeah. And all of the implications that brought up and all of the reflections that brought up, it was one of the best, most incredible shows. Then We had an Afrofuturist show with Leah King and Jessica Valoris, artists, Black Jewish artists, doing great things. I've been following them both ever since on Instagram, and they're just doing so many great things, and we've just been boosting them and friends for life after the show, friends of the show. Then we covered the pogroms in Palestine, a darker issue. And again, when we cover things about with Palestinians, we bring on Palestinians and we bring on experts, Jewish experts. You can get enough Jewish opinions on the street, on the dinner table, on everything, but it's very hard to get expert opinion. We bring on people who study hate, people who study the conflict. When trans women were under attack, we decided, you know what, for Women's Day, we're going to do Jewish trans woman joy. And we had rock star, legit rock star Ezra Furman on, who is touring the world, just canceled. I just wish her well on her health. They just canceled the European leg of their tour. We had Rabbi Abby Stein, who was at the White House last week. Incredible. We had Rabbi Veronica Yisrael. It was just so much. I'm so proud. And I just want to thank people who do donate, who do pick up the phone, and who call 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org and invest in this. This is this show and this station is a wall against fascism. It is. I can point to throughout multiple historical examples of how communities like this that WBAI brings together, Jewish, Black, Brown, immigrant, middle class, poor, working class, disabled, like every, you know, people who call in here, you know, are from every part of New York City. And I just, you know, I just want you to join me in investing in this place. And also, we do have another caller. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Hello. Good morning. Can you hear me?
Can you hear your name?
My name is Hanifa, and in my neighborhood, they call me Sister Ali. I'm a Muslim sister, and I'm a devoted listener to your program. I think it's just wonderful. And may I say Shalom Aleichem, and of course we say Assalamu Aleichem. This is Jummah, our prayer day, but it's also the beginning of this Sabbath, so let me say Shabbat Shalom. I know that much. Long ago, I had a grandmother at the time of the diaspora for all people who left Northern Africa, and they met wars constantly. They crossed the Mediterranean by the Black Sea, et cetera, and they kept going north till they meet people who were herding reindeer. There were a lot of them, and they joined them. They're called the Sami people of northern Scandinavia. Sami, the root, like Samuel, Allah, or Jehovah, has heard. Yahweh has heard. So I have that in my blood background. Wow. And my grandmother, my mother's mother, was dark with black straight hair. Those people didn't get to Scandinavia till maybe 800 years ago, so they stayed dark, not like the Vikings, the Asians that are in Scandinavia, who are fair-skinned because there's very little sun there, and they've been over there since 2,000 years ago. So my grandmother's people were reindeer herders. I don't know if you know about that part of the diaspora.
No, I don't. We need to get someone on the show who's a Jewish reindeer
herder. Really? I have another comment. One of my very best friends is a Jew. We started sixth grade together in a small town in New Jersey in 1955, and we are still friends. But we have suffered, because I'm Muslim and she is a Jew, from some persecution for our friendship at different times over the years, where we actually could not even contact each other. It was too dangerous, if you understand what I mean, because of the dislike of Muslims coming together with Jews. Now, I pay money, I give money to a group. It's a Jewish group, and it's a coalition with Palestinian groups who are working together for peace in Israel and for Palestine. And they're attacked under the because of BDS. They're for boycott, divestment, and sanction because they're called into anti-Semite, even though a lot of Jews are in that group. And you know there are Jews in Israel who work for peace regularly, which is really a wonderful thing. I'm so proud of them. But my question is to you, aren't Palestinians Semites too? I mean, when we talk about anti-Semitism, we have to talk, include the Palestinians. I believe the original people that were there when Moses arrived, Musa, peace be upon him, they were Semitic. So when we say anti-Semitism, we have to talk about the anti-Palestinian expressions of anti-Semitism. And I'm very active against anti-Semitism.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Sister Ali.
I wish we could touch on that. We're running out of time. And sorry to callers. We have a lot. The phones are lit up today with a lot of amazing callers, and we just can't get to everyone. Our time is up. But I do agree. Like, I mean, that's a technical thing with Semitism, the word Semite. But the actual anti-Semitism, the word was created by anti-Semites in Europe, and it was created to name Jews. So there is this conflict between the term anti-Semite and what it technically means. But today it means, we've accepted that it means Jews. And I think it's more useful to use that to refer to Jews. But I think we're a wrap, and I'm so glad today's callers. Oh my God. My friend just texted me, today's callers are making my heart sing.
I loved it. It really was special. I really love the opportunity to hear from our callers.
And
as always,
Shabbat
Shalom.
WBAI New York. Getting a little carried away. Rest in Power. Tina Turner. Listener-sponsored, commercial-free, radio WBAI in New York at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on web. A little bit later on today, there will be an encore presentation of Living for the City. We're in a fundraising drive, a spring fundraising drive, and so it has been determined, not by me, but it has been determined to rebroadcast that program focusing on the 1811 slave revolt in New Orleans, Louisiana. So you may want to tune in for that.